You are listening to Embodied People, a podcast co-hosted by Sarah Donahue and myself, Colleen Wall. We are both somatic movement educators and dance professors. We are also faculty at Integrated Movement Studies. In this podcast, we explore all things embodied. We explore anatomy, we explore meaning, metaphor, and how we make sense of out of our lives through our bodies. We also talk about developmental motor patterning, how it affects our psychological and emotional and psychic states as adults. And we really love to offer you movement practices and meditations that deepen your experience of your body so that your body is a generative place for you in your life. That is, it helps guide you towards and supports you in living the life that is most fulfilling for you. This podcast is sponsored by Integrated Movement Studies, and that is a certification program in the Laban-Bartynieff Movement Studies system. And if you'd like more information on Integrated Movement Studies and what the Laban-Bartynieff system is, beyond what we offer in this podcast, you can check out our website, imsmovement.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Embodied People. My name is Sarah Donahue, and I am bringing you a mini-sode today. And the topic of this mini-sode is embodied shoveling. Tis the season. Here in Utah, we've gotten some snow, and people are out and about shoveling, and I've been out and about shoveling, and I was thinking about it as I was shoveling the other day, how it's a bit of a chore, and it tends to, I think it can bring people like some pain and lower back pain and upper shoulder pain. And I know I've experienced that as well. So I was getting into it. I was thinking like, okay, how can we find ways to increase our connectivity and our embodiment of shoveling that it could even be like joyful? So I actually do enjoy shoveling. It feels like kind of a hybrid like chore slash workout for me. And I like to go out at night and shovel. Like after I put my son to bed, I like to go out and it's like quiet and the world just seems like a little bit more rested or something. And sometimes it's like so pretty that I don't want to disturb it with the shoveling, but I know it will be ice by morning, so I go ahead and do it. So I was out shoveling the other night and just thinking about this action. And of course, people have like various ways of shoveling, various shoveling techniques and needs of, you know, how they shovel. But I have some ideas I'd love to share with you. And if you live in a part of the world where you are required to shovel, maybe this will be helpful. So let's start from the ground and go up. So obviously when you're out shoveling snow, the ground is slippery. It's, you know, icy or snowy, and we don't want to slip. As I drive through my neighborhood or just look around, I see a lot of older people out shoveling. And I think about how, you know, that fear of like slipping and falling is legit. So just a couple of ideas about that. Of course, it could happen because it's a slippery surface, but the idea of just, first of all, just starting at the feet and just spreading your feet, like spreading out your toes and feeling the surface of your feet just widen and spread. And I think about like a duck walking on a frozen pond, and how they're pretty good at it because their feet are so wide and spread, you know, right? They've got like webbed feet. So there's just this like nice wide base of support as they walk along a slippery surface. So maybe you envision you have duck feet, or just thinking about relaxing your feet in your boots. Of course, you'll probably have boots or shoes on. But instead of feeling like they're kind of gripping or pulling up from the ground or tightening because of this potential fear of slipping, that they can release and ground down into your boots and then into the ground. And we've talked about before this idea of grounding and yielding or pouring your weight down. And I think particularly for this, for, you know, standing and moving on a slippery surface, that if you really like send some weight into your lower body, it could be helpful. I think sometimes as we walk across a slippery surface, we go up in space, like we kind of go and like pull everything up to be careful. But I wonder about letting it be actually weighted and a little bit more easeful so that like it's adaptable. If there's little micro shifts or slips that you can negotiate easily because you've got some like flow going and you've got your weight, is you're aware of your weight and you've got the sense of your weight. So perhaps, I don't know, give it a try, like that you're actually making your lower body heavier, that you're grounding yourself into your lower body a little bit. And so with this idea that I've weighted my lower body, that my feet are spreading into the earth, and I have this now like a little bit sense of my lower body being like an active part of this, right? One other thought about the lower body before we come up into moving into the upper body is just like likely you will have like a wide base of support, which I think just makes sense. And you're probably intuitively doing this anyway. Although sometimes I see people kind of standing with like their feet close together and just kind of bending over from the lower back to shovel. So try out, if you want, to just have like a little wider base of support, meaning that your feet are further apart from each other. And maybe they're in like a little stance that's like think of like someone who's fencing, like someone fencing with swords, so that there's like one foot ahead of the other and you're in a sort of like triangular shape, probably with like the shovel as the third point of the triangle. Seems supportive to me. So you've got your spread out duck toes. You've got a wide base of support. You've grounded yourself, pouring the sense of your weight through your shoes into the ground. This, we've talked about like the sand pouring through in the past. And I like that image because, well, it could also help with your shoveling. But the sand is mobile. It's also strong. It's weighted. So this like ever refilling current of sand that can really just pour out from your body through your feet into your shoes, into the earth, and just grounding you solidly there. Ground thyself. Then I was thinking about going back to this image of someone kind of standing, bending over and shoveling from their upper body. I was thinking about how much power we can harness from our lower bodies, right? We've got these big, strong legs and our glutes and our pelvis. It's really the center of our power. And doing something like lifting heavy snow repetitively really could use like all the strength that you have and all the power that you have. So thinking about bringing in the power from the lower body and really using, you know, so you're going to bend your legs more, you're going to kind of like send that weight down and then like pull it back up. So harnessing this strength and power from the feet through the legs, through the pelvis, and then it gets to go up into the upper body that is, you know, doing this act of digging into the snow with the shovel. So this made me think of like a new kinetic chain. Maybe it's new. I don't know. Maybe it's crossed my path before, but I was thinking about a feet to arms kinetic chain. And just as a reminder, a kinetic chain is, kinetic means like motion, and a chain is like things that link together. So it's this pathway of motion that can go through my body, and it can give me connectivity, and it can give me support. It can make my movement successful to like reach the goal that I'm trying to attain. So thinking of this feet up the legs, through the pelvis, through the core, and then to the scapula and the elbows and the hands, and then to the shovel. So that's maybe like the last part of the kinetic chain is this inanimate object of the shovel. And then I think, you know, it's important that your head and your tail are still a part of the conversation. But I think that they're also sometimes a little bit held in this action, that we're kind of harnessing our strength and support, ideally around our core. And maybe it's not like a super fluid moving spine that happens while you're shoveling. I don't know. You could try that too. So harnessing this power from the lower body, letting it move through, like not skipping over any parts of that chain, but letting it move up the legs, through the pelvis, through the core, through the arms, to the shovel. And part of that harnessing of the power will involve femoral flexion. So that is our femoral joint is the place where your leg bone connects to your pelvis. And letting that joint bend more than your back, right? So if we just bend over at the waist, straight-legged, right? Think of like shoveling, like straight-legged, I'm bending over. That is lumbar flexion. So that's my spine that is bending, which you're still going to probably need to bend your spine. But I was thinking if the femoral flexion is greater than the lumbar flexion, that this might be a lot less pain in the lower back, a lot less strain that can happen from lifting from the lower back, right? So instead, we're bending our legs, we're bending our ankle joints, our knee joints, and our hip joints, and we're letting all of that support this action with probably then a little bit of lumbar flexion as well, and perhaps some twisting if you have to toss the snow. But so thinking about that those joints are all going to bend to help you do this. And then let's skip to, well, we're not skipping. I think we're going up the body. So thinking about, I was thinking happy core supports the back. So obviously we have this, you know, this motion that's kind of bent over. This shoveling action is like kind of stooped over to get the snow. And it's really easy, I think, to kind of just let your belly kind of lose support, your core lose support. You know that it's just the position that you're in. I've found the same thing when cycling, that it's like my belly can just kind of hang down and I can like support myself with the back of my body or my arms or something like that. But I think for this action, well, for most things probably, really letting your core stay like super active and engaged and lively. And most of the time my image for my core is this like mobile ball of light that is like always kind of moving and changing, and it can grow and shrink, and it can sometimes get longer than wide or deeper than, you know, so it's a ball like shape, but then it also can kind of assist me however I need it to by kind of moving in different directions. So my core is going to stay active and just kind of doing a little dance around. And I think that will support lower backs. When the lower back starts to get, you know, sore from shoveling, or the next day you're like, oh, yes, I was shoveling. But that support from the other side, right? So if we're working really hard on like one side of our body, we can often think about like, well, what's the other side doing, and how can that support me a little bit? So a happy core supports the back. And then I think just like the last little part of this is that upper body. So it is a lot of work, right? You're digging in with the shovel, you're twisting, tossing, whatever it is, lifting. Sometimes the snow can be like really heavy. And this is where that kinetic chain would keep going through. I think there's different ones we could think about. Sacrum. So that's the back of your pelvis and kind of maybe the front of your pelvis as well, kind of traveling up to your scapula. So that's your shoulder blades, letting them be a part of it. So they are moving and they're active, not held. I think when I need to access strength in a way, if I'm trying to lift something that's probably too heavy for me to lift, what I will sometimes do is recruit my upper shoulders, my trapezius muscles. And I think a lot of people do this. So, and that's, you know, those are overworked a lot of the times. They're the muscles that always need a good massage. So letting it come from a little bit lower, right? So letting it be supported from my back and from my underneath my scapula, my latissimus dorsi, which is like a little bit lower on the back. Thinking about shoveling from there, you know, from like the back of my wings as opposed to the top of my shoulders. So digging in, thinking about that scapula out to my elbow, to my pinky, to the shovel, and letting that be supported just like a gentle grounding down of the upper shoulders so that they don't end up around our ears doing a lot of the lifting work. That's going to be like a recipe for pretty sore upper shoulders. And then I think the last thing, I said this was going to be a mini-sode. We've talked about yield and push to reach and pull in the past. Colleen and I did a like a leapfrog episode of that. And I think it's, I mean, it's just in so much of our movement, or arguably all of our movement, maybe. But I was thinking about this with shoveling, snow shoveling, that the yield is that grounding we talked about to begin with, sending your weight down. The push, I think, is when we like pull that power up from the earth, and we're maybe also pulling snow up on the shovel at the same time. And then you have to get the snow somewhere, right? You got to like toss it off to the side or something. And so that sometimes to me can feel like it goes out of my reach zone. Like I'm overextending myself. And that is, I think that's where sometimes my back like pain starts to come in, is that I'm trying to toss this big heavy shovel of snow off further than my actual reaching ability. So just something to consider, like where, like how far are you tossing, and is it supported? Is this, so I've rephrased this to a yield and push to reach and toss. So how far are you tossing, and can you set yourself up for a phrase of that that really works for your body? And I know sometimes it's just like, you know, so for example, if I shovel from the middle of my driveway to the edges, I can do this better than if I start at the edges and then suddenly I'm in the middle and I've got to toss that snow from the middle all the way out to the edge. Oh, thinking about shoveling a bit too much maybe. But the point of this is that the body is being supported from that yielding down, pushing through, and then this reach of the shovel and the toss that is maybe just like not the biggest kinesphere you've got. You're not reaching beyond your means, which could also lead to slipping, I think, but you're doing it in a way that you can like complete that phrase with relative ease. So, okay, there you have it. Enjoy winter. I'm doing my best, and enjoy your shoveling if you get to do that. Okay, thanks everybody.